Don't mind us, we're playing through. Here's Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.
Welcome to another edition of the Playing Through Podcast. It's Froggy from Elvis Duran, The Morning Show, here with my good golfing buddy, Brian Golf, one of the biggest social media influencers in golf right here talking
shut
to us today.
Up, shut up.
Yes,
you're
you are.
Doing that because you know I hate that crap.
You do. We're going to talk about putters.
Oh, I like putters.
We're going to talk about putters because, let's be honest, it's an extremely important part of the game.
It's not just the most important club. I mean, it's debatable. Some people say driver. Some people say putter. It's not just the most important club in your bag because it's the one that actually puts the ball in the hole and you use
right.
it the most.
Right.
But there's also a little bit of a collection side of it, memorabilia side of it.
Right.
You know, there's big-time putter collectors. And when it comes to putters, everybody is going to get to know if they don't already.
Yeah, because you usually, be honest, the first thing that comes to mind in putter, and when it comes to just a person's name, it's usually Scotty Cameron.
Right.
That's usually the first thing you think of.
For sure.
But there are other people in the game that are making huge strides in the putter industry.
Like Mr. Tyson Lamb. Tyson, my man, what is up?
Oh, I was just jamming the pit bull, and then you had to come back on the line.
Oh, sorry. Do you want us to put you on hold? We'll stroke Scotty Cameron, you know, off for the next 10 minutes if you want.
I think I can talk to you. Is that what's playing during the radio or on the radio station?
Yes.
What I was listening to?
Nice. We're in South Florida. You can't have an hour that goes by you don't put Mr. 305, Mr. Worldwide on the radio. That's how it works here.
Of course. That's how it works.
So, Tyson Lamb, if you don't know Tyson already, follow him on Instagram. He's a great Instagram follow. Your website's lambcrafted.com, right?
Correct.
Okay, so make sure
There's
you go
probably
there.
Not anything for sale on there at the moment.
Well, and that's because everything probably sold out.
Correct.
So, I, for example, I went on your website. I didn't see what I was looking for, so then I go to eBay, because eBay's the first place you go when you want to buy something that maybe everybody else already has and you want to buy it.
That I'm may gonna, also be fake.
Right. Well, this Tyson Lamb putter, it says it's an Allendale Lamb Chop Shop Tex USA Limited Putter, 3,500, 34.5 inches, brand new. Right now it's up for $5,475 or best offer.
Is that the best bid? Is that the top bid?
Right now it is.
Or is that to buy it now?
No, you can buy it right
really?
Now. Yeah.
Not bad.
Wow. I'm in the wrong business.
To build these putters, how does it go from start to finish to in my bag playing on the course?
Kind of throughout the course of my golf career, I've just always loved putting. Well, so back when Anthony Kim was around and the kind of the belt buckle phenomenon came around, a buddy of mine, his grandparents had this big machine shop, and they came to me and they were like, he was like, hey, we should do some custom putters and all of that. And then we had this idea to make a belt buckle. So we made machine belt buckles for a little bit. And at one point we had like 20 guys on tour, and I was in college and I was just designing this stuff, on my computer and sending it, and they were getting made there. And so then him and I split ways, and essentially I kept trying to send out all of our stuff to get made, and we were making belts and accessories and stuff like that, and I couldn't find a shop that could do it. So I moved back home to my parents' house and got a loan from our current business partner for $100,000. I went and spent $100,000 and set up a machine shop in my parents' garage. And so
We just lost Steve.
It can't end like that. No, we can't lose the story. No.
No.
Tyson.
What is going to happen now?
Dude, the story's great so far. He starts out drinking beer in college with his buddies making belt buckles. There's dudes on tour wearing them.
All right, and that is the Tyson Lamb story. Done. Now you know.
I got to call this guy back. Hold on. It can't end that way.
Wait, maybe he'll call us back. Maybe he'll call us back and request Pitbull.
You hang up on me or what?
No, you dropped. So let me tell you where we were. So the story was getting really good. You were drinking beer with your buddies in college. You're making belt buckles. 20 guys on tour wearing it. That ends. You get a loan from a business partner of yours for $100,000. You set up a machine shop in your parents' garage, and the phone dropped.
Okay, so then we started doing all of our accessories, and I didn't even know how to run this machine. So SMU was actually Jason Enlow. He's now the coach at SMU. He was one of our guys who wore our product kind of for the first couple of years, and then he actually became the head coach. So he came to me and was like, I want you to make belt buckles for the SMU tournament. It's in March. And I got my machine in January. I didn't even know how to use it. Like, I didn't even know how to make anything. I knew how to design everything, but I didn't know how to make everything. So essentially, I taught myself how to do everything. So I got my machine January 6th, and the order was for March 13th. I finished the order March 13th at 6 a.m., and that the tournament started at 8 a.m. Like, I literally somehow finished them. So mom took everything, and I took the last 10 and gave it to them, like, as they were teeing off. It was insane. It was, like, a really crazy, weird story. But then after that, we, you know, for the first 6 or 7 months, we just made belts and all that. And I wasn't really, like, super excited about it, even though it was really good money and a really good business. I just wasn't, like, proud of it. I don't know. It was just kind of one of those things. I was like, this isn't my calling. So I kind of jokingly always was like, you know, someday I'm going to make a putter. Like, I just love putters. Putters are like watches or knives or guns. I mean, it's one of those things that it's a collectible, really cool thing that's nostalgic, and it's the only thing in your bag that you can kind of have a connection with.
Right.
And so, and guys keep them forever. I mean, guys name their putter. I mean, they don't name their driver. It's kind of one of those things.
Right.
It's just a weird thing. So, I think it was for Christmas of December 2012, I was like, I'm going to make myself a putter. And I made myself a putter, and it wasn't the best thing ever. I still got it. But, I mean, it wasn't bad. And so then I got Instagram actually in January, and I started posting some stuff of, you know, my work and some of these other things. And by that time I was making car parts. Like, I did work for Gas Monkey Garage and, you know, wow, airplane companies and all sorts of different types of things. So we're making car parts and art. And I mean, if you wanted something made, like, you just come to me and I'd make it. And it sucked, and I didn't really know what I was doing, but we figured it out.
But you made it.
And, well, kind of. I mean, for the first, like, 3 or 4 years, I made, like, less than $20,000 a whole year, and I work 100-hour weeks. I mean, it's nuts. And so I kind of started noticing through Instagram, I started getting some followers, and I was at, like, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 followers. And I'd post, like, Gas Monkey's this huge, you know, company here that's really popular on TV and all that. And I'd post, like, some gas pedals that I made for Chevelle that we did for them. And then, actually, it may have been a Nova. And then it'd get, like, 100 or 200 likes. I'm like, what the hell? And then I'd post a putter, and it'd get 1,000 hits on it. And I'm like, huh? And so I started making some more and more putters. And then Jim Butler called me at the end of 2015. Well, actually, backtrack. I made some more putters, and a couple of blogs that kind of started noticing me. And I actually went on Golf WRX, which is, like, the largest golf blog.
Yeah.
And I was posting some of my work under the section that says, like, micro artisans. So you can post the stuff that you make in your garage under this blog. So I posted it, and then they banned me because people wanted to buy it because, like, I wasn't a paid sponsor. So that was, like, the first telltale sign. And then so over the next few years, and up until 15, I was making all these other parts and everything else. And then finally I got a call from a guy named Jim Butler, and he's with a company called Table Rock, and they sold Scotty Cameron's for, I don't know, like 20-plus years. He's a, you know, older guy now, but he's been around for a while, and you know, they've sold putters ranging from, you know, $1,000 to, I think he sold one for $30,000. It's nuts.
Damn.
Maybe even more than that. He was like, you know, we're not going to have a booth at the PGA show this year, but we're going to set up, like, a hotel suite and invite people who are in Orlando to come there. At one point, they had a booth at the show, and they would sell $500,000 in 1 or 2 days at the PGA show in Scotty's. It was nuts. So I busted my ass and made 7 putters. It took me 2 months to make 7 putters. That's a lot. And I took them, and we sold 7 putters for $12,000, and I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do.
Holy shit.
This is the business plan.
Yeah, I mean, so then that was 15. So January 15. So I had all this work on the table. Actually, Starwood Motors, who's the biggest custom Jeep builder, we had a Jeep that we built for SEMA with 500 or 600 horsepower. It was a $200,000+ Jeep. It was a rat rod Jeep. So I had that project. I had some other projects that we had to do. So I didn't really get all my work done until, like, June or July of 15, and then I started making some putters. So in 15, I probably made, like, 30 or 40 putters, and then 16 was the game changer. 16 was when we went and we did the show, and, you know, we sold quite a bit, and I started making some more, and then my Instagram picked up, and so I was probably, like, 15 or 20,000, and then people started buying, and then we, at the end of 16, and this is what's crazy. So I had this idea for a donut, and I literally thought to myself, how funny would it be? Because I was just making fun of myself, calling myself a fat ass. I was like, how funny would it be if I marked my ball with a full-size donut? Like, it would just be hilarious. Like, if you just had this huge thing down. I was like, you know, that would just be awesome, because who doesn't love donuts? And then I was watching Happy Gilmore, and Happy Gilmore, they use a cracker. And I was like, we just need to make a donut ball marker. And so then the saying kind of came about, drive for show, putt for donuts. And so during the World Series, the Cubs won in 16, right?
Right.
Okay, so the World Series, the final game of the World Series, we launched our website. So we transitioned from, we had a company called Black Diamond Design, which is my umbrella LLC. We transitioned to Lambcrafted mid-2016. I started putting my name on stuff. So we launched our website in 2016 during the final game of the World Series. And so we, the only thing we had to put up was these donuts. And what's crazy is I posted them on Instagram and it went like nuts. Like this thing went crazy. I couldn't even believe it, how nuts this thing went. So we launched during the World Series. And we put up, you know, we didn't essentially have a stock. We just put up, okay, you can buy as many as you want. And we ended up selling like $24,000 in donuts in the first night.
$24,000 worth of donuts?
Dude, it was so mind-blowing that it was nuts. And so you sit there and say, okay, that's 24 grand. But at the same time, like, I didn't know what I was going to do because they take a long time to make. And also, I didn't have the resources to even do anything. So it ended up taking us a little while to ship it. Plus, we'd never used the online store or shipped anything. So it's like, holy crap, you've got all this stuff that you've got to do. How do you do it? So it took us a while to figure it out. And then it was almost like the minute that we took all that in, I'd already spent all that money because we had to grow like fast. And so then all the people are complaining because they don't get the product. And it's just hard. Like, you know, when some people want stuff, it's difficult because I'm the same way. When I want something, I want it, and I'm going to do what I can do to get it. So the donuts kind of opened the door to the store. So from then on out, ever since that day, anything we put up, it doesn't last more than an hour. Like, it's absolutely insane how it works. But so we started doing accessories, and there's such a high demand for accessories that it's kind of crippled my putter manufacturing. And so as time went on, you know, in 17, we did a lot of accessories. I would say accessories were 70 to 80% of our business. But what was cool about that is it allowed us to, save up some money to buy new equipment to make more putters. So last year, obviously was our best year ever. I mean, like bar, you know, hands down, we got to increase our customer base by having the accessories. So, you know, if I could only make 100 putters in a year or 200 putters, which now is more, but we can make 5,000 accessories, we can reach customers that we couldn't before and people that just want to see our work. So it gives people, and you can ask Brian, you know, it gives someone an example for $50 or for whatever to get a piece of my work in front of them so they can see kind of the quality of what we do.
Exactly.
It's something that the head covers are absolutely beautiful. I'm looking at those, and I love the pop top. Bowl markers are amazing. I love the ones you did with the Patriots logo, the Eagles logo, and then once this dilly dilly on it.
Dilly dilly, that's
is
classic,
so cool.
Right?
I mean, really, it's a lot of really cool stuff, and it's so different that, you know, it really has become a thing where instead of just going in the pro shop or whatever golf course you're playing and just grab one of their plastic ball markers, it really provides personality, whether it's the head cover on your putter that you take off every time you putt and lay down on the green, whether it's what you mark your ball with. And this makes it so you can have personality when you're around the greens, which is when everybody's standing around talking and somebody goes, oh, man, where'd you get that? That's cool. Is that a donut? Like, it just adds conversation.
Well, that's the cool factor. Everybody's on this big technology phase, but let's be honest here. I would say 75% of golfers shoot anywhere from 85 and above. And most of them, you know, most of them just want to look cool and go have fun. Like, to me, anything that's great golf-wise, anything that allows you to have fun. Because so I've played competitive golf long enough to know that most of the time you're only going to have fun if you're playing well, and that's only 1% of the time. So to me, anything it's true. So if you're not going to be a tour player or whatever, most guys don't realize that they can't make it because those guys are so damn good. They don't get it. I mean, like Jordan Spieth. Good luck. You know, I couldn't even keep up with him. I played in the same time as him. I'm in Dallas. I played junior golf tournaments with him. Like, I just had to realize that, look, this guy is awesome, you know? Like, I can't touch this. So, why not have – I mean, most people just want stuff that makes them look good, feel good, and they just want to have a good time. So, anything that helps you have fun and look forward to playing golf, like, that's what we like to make. And so, I'm going to get into some technology, you know, based stuff, but – to be quite honest, some of it won't even help my customers, and that's perfectly fine because our entire business model is based around, you know, making new friends, meeting new guys that love cool stuff and just love putters. And it's kind of like you know, there's people that collect Rolexes or Ferraris, and they all like to hang out with each other. Most of these guys work their ass off and have day jobs, and they just want to go out a couple times a year and have a good trip and have fun with their buddies. Well, that's kind of what our brand is based around, is like, you know, calling up Brian and saying, hey, we're taking a trip from New York to Miami, which is going to happen probably in August, and we're taking 30 guys. You want to come? I mean, I called them last year. We took an indie trip, and I asked them, hey, do you want to go? Like, that's the foundation behind what our brand is kind of being formed off of. It's just cool stuff that people can relate to and talk about and have something that their wives can buy them for Christmas. You know, that's kind of the real truth.
Well, and personally, you know, for me, I think you're just extremely pop culture. Your products are extremely pop culture. It's funny, I didn't know that it's kind of started with the donuts, but that's what drew me into you, funny enough, so I can relate to that. I'm a huge donut lover, like literally a pink strawberry frosted donut from Dunkin' Donuts or Yo-Nuts or what's the Voodoo Donuts. That is like my life, man, are these donuts, and it's always been a thing for me. So when I saw your ball markers, it was a given. I needed to get on board. Now,
who doesn't love a donut, you know?
Donuts rock, man. So my whole thing with it, though, is I, deep down, and you know this, Tyson, I'm married. I got a 7-year-old. I can't afford one of your putters yet, but I can, even though I haven't bought one yet, because I've won one from you like a long time ago, and then I won one from Golf Babes on Instagram. So I've got two dope ball markers. But I will give you my money one day because you keep popping out all these accessories. And I know that you're constantly evolving with your creativeness. You're extremely creative on not just the accessory front, but some of the things you put on putters, man, is just hysterical to me.
Yeah, and his Instagram is great. Wait, I'm scrolling to your Instagram.
Wait till you see these NBA. We're doing some putters. We leave Wednesday for the All-Star game. Wait till you see these NBA putters. I'm literally, like, they're in front of my face right now. I'm sitting here working on them. That's something cool. I mean, the big thing is, and I've learned this in golf, and I'm sure there's going to be some guys listening to this that, you know, if you're in the golf industry, take this to heart. Listen to what people have to say. And if you take the customer's input and they get, you know, you say, Brian, what do you want on something? And they tell you what they want and you make it, they're going to buy it because they just told you what they wanted. You know, like the thing about it is why not just listen to what they have to say? I'm at the point now where people think what I do is cool and they buy it, but 9 times out of 10, I'd rather take what you want on it and put it on there so that way I know that you love it. I mean, there's a reason why there's Nike ID and custom Oakleys and all this other stuff out there, you know. And so that's kind of my thing is if you're going to spend, you know, however much money it is to play golf and it's not cheap, you know, why not just get something that you love? And and two, if you can make something for somebody that they don't end up changing, that's half the battle because 9 times out of 10, guys will buy a putter and then it's in their bag for 1 week and then they've changed it. So it's like, why not make up something that they have meaning associated with that they can keep in their bag for a long time? You know, that's kind of the thought on it.
Well, with that being said, when you're talking about the custom putters, and we can kind of, you know, slowly wrap on this, what's next? Are you going to be teaming up? And you don't have to give us the answer, but we would love to be. Have you ever been on another podcast?
No, well, I've been on like some entrepreneur, like machining type stuff.
Doesn't count.
We're first. We want to be first.
Okay. So my thing is, are you
going? I feel like I'm on like Joe Dirt right now.
You kind of are.
Well,
pretty
official. You didn't even hear all the story.
Yeah. So we're at a real radio station here doing this. So it is very Joe Dirt.
That's right.
It is Frenching it up. So yeah, exactly. here's my thing. Are you looking at being a putter provider for TaylorMade, Cobra, not Titleist, obviously, because it's got a camera, but, you know, some of these other companies that, you know, like the whole TP Mills deal back in the day and the Bobby Graces, Scotty Camerons of the world, where, they used to make putters and now they make putters and, you know, they've got a bigger name on it.
Right.
Is that in the cards for you? Is that what you want? Is that an end game or do you just want to continue to do you?
Well, so, and it's kind of, it's hard to explain, but so we're a small business. My mom works for me. My sister works with me. My grandma works with me. Like we're a small business in a small shop and to do what we've done, I'm really, really proud of the things that we've done given how short of a time we've done it in. And it's kind of like now that we're getting some notoriety and we're starting to become, partially successful, everyone's coming to us with their hand out and with all these ideas and all of that. And so part of me is like, that's awesome. And it's kind of like a sign of, hey, you're doing the right thing. But at the same time, it's like getting all the way to the door. You know, you're waiting in line to skydive and you get all the way to the door and then you just turn around and go sit back down. Now, I would do that because I'm terrified of heights. But the thing about it is like we just now got here, and I've busted my ass for 5 or 6 years making no money and doing all these things. And I think now if we went and jumped on board with someone else, then it probably wouldn't be the right thing to do, at least from my standpoint. But I'll never, ever, ever turn down a meeting or an idea. And we've had meetings right. like that. The thing about it is just we're not to a capacity standpoint yet, and we're not to a design standpoint where I feel like I've designed some stuff that's kind of revolutionary and unique and all that. I mean, we've stayed with classic designs for a reason. But then again, a lot of OEMs are going away from classic design, so maybe we could bring that back. But, you know, there's only three companies that could possibly do it, and really there's only one. And I'll tell you, you know, if the right offer was there, if the right offer was there, then I would entertain it. But no matter what, I'll never, ever, ever go fully work underneath somebody. It would right. be a partnership or it would be something like that, because I don't do well working like that, and I feel like it would cripple my capability.
Right.
I need to have some type of freedom. And so it'd be more of a collaboration, and we're doing a lot of collaborations actually right now, you know, with the NBA and with Grayson and Jones and some other companies that I feel like are really, really good guys to work with. And so, you know, we're going to go that route. And I think, I really think golf is going to direct sales. I think that that's the way it is. And especially with so many different variations. I mean, Brian, you can take a club that a guy has and change shaft or fit him in 2 seconds, even if he brings you the head. So there's so many different ways golf is going. But I also think that the popularity is not as high anymore. So I think people really, in the equipment standpoint, I think people are just looking for something that's different. So if I went to an OEM, would they be as interested in our product? That's kind of my big question that I don't know. If any of that makes sense.
Right. No, it does. It makes perfect sense, actually. And when you do, because like you said, you're into custom work and you're doing stuff. Are there any players that are currently on any of the tours playing a Lamb-crafted putter right now?
We've done some stuff for a couple.
Well, hold on. I'm looking at your Instagram right now. I see you made ball markers for Hunter Mahan for Oklahoma State. You are so close to me hitting you up for a Florida Gator win. I mean, you have no idea how close we are, but I'm going to let you go ahead and answer the question.
Well, if we do something like that, we can't post it because I might get in trouble for that one. Hunter's a pretty cool dude, and we actually did that for his birthday. But we've done some stuff for a few guys. The answer is no. The problem is right now with so many people waiting, paying full price. I mean, guys literally will like threaten us that if they don't get their stuff, and it's crazy because you have all these guys that are so passionate about it. So we have guys waiting, paying full price, and I can't even keep up with that. The other half of the battle is I cannot compete with people paying. You know, if we did some stuff for I made a putter for David Toms at the Colonial like a year and a half ago or whatever, and he rolled it in the first two practice rounds, and then you know, I don't know the full story on it, but you got to think, if you're a Cleveland rep or if you're any other rep and you see someone gaming your putter, you come up and you're just like, look, dude, we're paying you. Like, what is this? And they've got 800 different models and they can do whatever they want and you don't have to pay for it.
Right.
Like, literally, if Brian was a tour guy and he wanted a putter, he could just go to any van and they would just do anything that they wanted until he had something that he loved. And
right.
I can't do that right now. So, and plus here's what you guys have to think about from a marketing standpoint. Big companies use tour guys to sell product to the average Joe.
Right,
They do not sell, if they don't sell product to the average Joe, they're losing money because the tour guys cost them money, right?
Right.
So if you could sell your product all day long and not have to have those endorsements, would you do it?
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean? Like, would you spend $20 million just to have tour guys if you didn't need them to sell it? Now, there is some self-validation in that.
Yeah, and still,
my driver's so much better.
Yeah, overhead's much lower, though. You've got a much better business model, a much more affordable business model doing what you're doing.
I don't know about better, but we fly by the seat of our pants. It's super small scale, but, you know, we're getting better, and I'm learning a lot. And to be honest, that's actually kind of the fun is, like, okay, what decision do we make next? And that produces what results? You know, what direction do we go? And the cool part is, since we make most of everything that we do, I can get to market so much faster than a lot of guys, because at 2 a.m, if I want to come up with something, I can just come to the shop and make something. And
that's
kind of
cool.
The cool part. And then I get it out to Instagram, and then, you know, people on Instagram just promote it and want to buy it and all of that. And now with we've automated our online store and everything. So all of our accessories and other stuff, they're shipping within, I mean, a guy put an order in the other day and he got his shipping notification in 10 minutes. I mean, we're, we're getting a lot better and a lot faster, but
awesome.
At the same time, we still can't make enough. But it's really, really cool. I love what I do. It's a lot of work, but I get to meet guys like you and Brian and get to travel around and play golf. And that's kind of the end game, is being able to just meet more people. And if I'm in New York and I want to play golf, you know, we can go play golf. That's kind of
right.
The cool part about it, is being able to just hook up with really unique people.
That's awesome.
A big part of why I do the Instagram the way I do my Instagram is to meet golfers,
right.
People that love the same thing that I do.
A lot of people love the sport.
And to educate.
Yeah.
Oh, big
time. You do a great job educating.
Hey,
like,
thanks.
I mean, really, with the hanger and some of the other
he
stuff.
Does.
Like, yeah, I mean, it's really cool. And I'm super glad, Brian, that you went and did, you know, you went and started doing that, the fitting and all that other stuff. Because, I mean, Froggy, I don't know if you guys had a conversation, but I talked to Brian and he was just like, you know, this is what I love to do. This is what I want to do every day too. And I love the radio stuff as well. And I was like, dude, just go do it.
Right.
And,
I agree with you 100%.
I thought that was awesome. So
I appreciate
it. And I'm assuming you love what you do, Froggy.
Yeah, I do. You know what? I love being able to take, finally, podcasting really is such an important deal because it allows us to reach a completely different audience that we really want to reach, people that we want to talk to, and to be able to talk to golfers that are strictly love golf, just like Brian and I do, just like you do. And then to be able to introduce them to you and your product and introduce your Instagram. I know you have some 30 some odd thousand followers, but to bring in new people to say, hey, look at this, because we all enjoy the same game and it can be so much more fun to play when you get out of the mechanical stuff that you see everywhere else. There really is a whole nother world to golf, and that's what we're trying to bring out.
So what's your game like? Is it decent? Are you scratch? What are you?
No, I would say
you notice how Tyson just turned this and it's now his podcast?
I did. I
want to know. I mean, hell, you asked me so many questions. Let me ask you something.
You know what? It's decent. I'll say it's decent. Right now, my handicap's a 6.2.
No, that's fine.
Yeah, I mean, it's not great. I
don't
hit it.
You're perfect for member guest.
I don't hit it far.
Dude, he's a dangerous member guest player from the up tee, you know, the
normal
tees.
I don't hit it far,
man.
But you know
dangerous.
What? I can get around the golf course. I can get up and down. And my worst score, if I have a really bad day, I'll shoot mid-80s. And if I have a really good day, I'll shoot 70 if it's low.
And Tyson, his biggest problem... His biggest problem, Tyson, is every time he comes to the golf course, he's got another tip or a swing thought that he's working on. He's always trying something new that Sean Foley told him or Billy Horschel told him to do. Like, he's always chasing. He's like, yeah, I talked to Michael Breed the other day, and he said I needed to, you know, really, you know, get that club face where it's at.
That's why.
Where I'm like, yo, I know that I'm an early extender, and I need to just keep working with the hanger and stop being such a lazy ass and stay down. And that's the only thing I've worked on for a year.
With your VJ Singh finish, Brian, it's so good. You finish it just like VJ Singh. I love watching it every time. Well, here's the thing that you need to make sure that all your guys out there, they hear this, is you just told me one thing that is the most common thing that everybody forgets, is you said if you have a good day, you can shoot, you know, X amount of, you know, in the 70s or whatever, but you said you just kind of scrap it around and get up and down. When Tiger was playing his best and his worst, you know, I think the year he played the best, he obviously led with fairways and distance, but 90% of the time that he was out there, all he did was he out-putted and he out-chipped everybody.
Absolutely.
And then the tour guys, what they do is the guys who are going to win during the week, they're obviously hot. They're playing the best. Like, you're not going to be able to always beat those guys that have it. I mean, when you have it, you have it. It doesn't matter. So the thing about it is they hang around long enough. So usually they get hot one or two times around, or one or two times a tournament. So they just grind away and hang around. And then when they get hot, they get hot. And that's how they contend. And so they don't make any stupid numbers. And if they do, maybe it's a double. But if you watch Jordan or whatever, as soon as he makes a double, birdie every time. I actually think he leads that stat where he goes
back,
you know, bounce back. And so the big thing is like, you know, you can skank it everywhere. And if you just get up and down all the time, like 9 times out of 10, you're going to shoot a better score a lot of times than if you just kind of hit it fair and putt fair.
Right.
And a lot of people don't realize that, you know.
Think about how many times you hit a fairway, you miss the green, you chunk a chip, or you leave it in the bunker, then you scull it, and then you two putt or three putt. So now you got a 6.
Yeah.
If you go work on that stuff, if you just miss the fairway barely, you knock it up around the green, and you get up and down, boom, you got your easy par. It's so much more fun and so much more easy to go to the driving range and just bang balls all day with your driver and your 3-wood But nobody ever stops over at that putting green and chips and putts. That's where the game is made.
Well, and that's where the, that's where more fun is made. If you go watch a kid putt on the putting green or whatever, usually kids like 15 or below are way better putters because there's no care whatsoever. And there's kind of three things that I really believe in putting. And there's some people that argue with me, but if you look at any of the best putters ever, you look at Lauren Roberts, Ben Crenshaw, Brad Faxon, Tiger Woods, Aaron Baddeley, any of these guys, with the exception of Ben Crenshaw, I'm pretty sure almost every single one of them does the same thing. They roll the line on the ball, meaning they line up the ball with the line. They have the same exact putting and practice stroke every single time. Mm-hmm. Like it's identical, whether it's on Friday or whether it's on Sunday to win.
Right.
And then the last thing that they do is they look at the hole, and the minute they look down at the ball, they go.
They don't sit, and
they don't get ball locked. And the reason for the line is if you can roll the line end over end and you see it rolling as one continuous line, you know that you put a good forward stroke on the ball, meaning if you hit the putt with the line up on top and you can't see the line rolling continuous, you either cut it or you hooked it. So even if you don't roll the line, you need to at least go to the putting green and learn how to roll the line continuously so that at least you can make sure that you're rolling it, you know, on the right path with the right roll.
Right.
Otherwise, you have nothing constant to judge, you know, hey, did I cut it? Hey, did I pull it? Whatever. Because there's going to be 60 or 70% of your putts that may be great putts that don't go in. And so
right. When
you're out on the course and you put your line down and you roll it, and if it rolls end over end and it doesn't go in, it was either misread or bad speed. I mean, that's the truth. So it eliminates so many variables. You don't have to say, hey, did I aim wrong? Hey, whatever. And the truth is, it doesn't matter how you aim. As long as if you roll that line end over end, it doesn't matter if you hit it with the back of your club. If you can roll it pure, that eliminates so many different things. And I think that's one of the biggest things that most of the guys that I see don't do. But to me, I can't putt. Like, if you took the line away, I'm 100 handicap. Like,
right.
It's just, it is what it is.
I agree. So there you go. You're getting not only we're turning you on to putters, but we're also giving you putting advice right here on the Playthrough Podcast. Tyson, thank you so much for coming on. Appreciate it.
It's
Tyson, T-Y-S-O-N _ Lamb, or online at lambcrafted.com. A great Instagram follow. Tyson, I got to be honest with you. I'm totally going to be hitting you up at some point for a Florida Gator head cover because I love my Gators. I know we're having a little down decade, but that's okay. We'll be back, I promise, at some point.
down decade.
Yeah, we've had it.
Hey, thanks for letting me talk you guys' ear off. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it, Tyson. Have a great one, man. Be good, man.
Thanks.
You'll see you, bud.
Playing Through with Froggy, Brian Golf, and Wacker.